follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in here on a Monday. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson. Pauly is on vacation this week. Coming up this hour, a case can be made to bet this player to win the MVP. Also, we'll talk some more college football at the bottom of the hour. Here are some more bets in the National Football League. By the way, if you missed it in the previous hour, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast wherever you get them at. We went over MVP and Offensive Player of the Year in the National Football League. A couple of more awards here, Dustin, that I wanted to throw at you before we get into the longest shot to maybe win a division. So building the portfolio in the offseason for some of these. Typically, this has been my lightest year of NFL awards going back. I think the World Cup probably had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I think the World Cup definitely slowed me down. Because by now, I think I'm pretty entrenched on a few stances.
Oh, by now, I'm already telling myself, Mitch, can you dial it back, jackass? You have way too many bets at this
point. Well, I've already predicted the whole season. I can't wait to find out how I'm wrong.
Yeah, right, exactly. So I did have a couple of other bets in pocket, and then one thing I referenced earlier today was RotoWire put out like their 10 bold predictions for the year. And it's, I kind of like the way that we're in on the same page here in tune with some of my bets. One of which would be, and as soon as they drafted him, I knew if the number was right, I was going to bet this player for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And it's more than likely going to be a player near the top of the odds board. But to me, this is kind of like the Heisman Trophy conversation from the previous segment. And that is, I think you're kind of throwing darts right now near the top. There are so many players you can make the case for that are around 8, 10, 12, 14 to 1. But Jonah Coleman, who was taken by the Broncos, running back from Washington, he was a player that some labeled like the second best running back in the draft behind Jeremiah Love and like a do all everything back, right? He can, first of all, his pass protection is absolutely elite. His running style, he's so like, he has such a low center of gravity. He's almost like a Barry Sanders type where he can be difficult. And plus, he's a bowling ball on top of it. But Roto, I bet him at 60 to 1. They wrote that he's going to take over the backfield by week 8. He's a complete three-down back. And that, don't forget, Sean Payton emphasized upgrading the running back position this offseason. I think they did it, and they accomplished that in the draft with this guy.
You know what? You sold me. I'm in on this one. It's a great number. But think about a year ago. They're offense when J.K. Dobbins was healthy and then when he got hurt was two totally different offenses.
100%.
They couldn't run the football with R.J. Harvey, who's really just a receiving back. I don't think he's an every down guy. You add this element with Waddle, the respect that people are going to have to give their passing game, assuming Nix is healthy here. Jonah Coleman makes a lot of sense for a couple reasons. Dobbins is older, coming off an injury again. They desperately need balance if Nix is going to lead them into the postseason.
Yeah, so he's the number one guy that I have bet so far. I also took Catron Allen from Penn State, who went to Washington at 80 to 1. That was like as soon as the draft ended. But that's only where I'm at right now. I don't have any guys near the top of the odds board.
All right, so first of all, top of the board is Jeremiah Love. You can't bet it.
Oh, you can't. There's no way. Absolutely no way.
Ashton Jeanty is the example, but more importantly, he's not even going to get a workload that you would anticipate. That is a draft pick that I already know that this new regime is getting fired. Like I already know they're not long for the course because they drafted a running back when they had so many other needs. By the time they're good, they're going to need to pay him and they're going to have to move away from him, i.e. Saquon Barkley and the Giants. So when I'm looking at this market, it's the guy that I really think is going to hit the ground running in the offense that he's in. That's Mekhi Lemon. Mekhi Lemon, he's down to 10 to 1, though. I think I saw a 12 to 1 last night out here at Caesars. He has been compared to JSN, that slot power where you can routinely hit him over and over again. I envision the workload could eventually be like Amon-Ra St. Brown. You just never know with these receivers. But to me, the situation with A.J. Brown gone, Devontae Smith being that stretch the field guy for the offense, I think Lemon just could get volume in that offense because Jalen Hurts is not accurate throwing the ball downfield. I think the short option becomes a little bit better, but 12 to 1 is pretty short. I really like Casey Concepcion. I hate the fit in Cleveland, though, at 28 to 1. They drafted Boston from Washington. He has a lot of people that he's going to have to battle with for looks there in that offense. So that's why I didn't go to Concepcion. I think Lemon at 12 to 1 makes a lot of sense for the fit.
I think based on the number and comparing him to another top 10 guy, Jordan Tyson, I think that he can take off, obviously, in the Saints offense. But I think that's what you want to look at, right? You want to look at stable organizations, good quarterback play, and people will come at me probably with like Jalen Hurts and say, what are you talking about? Knock it off. Can't throw the football a lick. Whatever. They're going to put up a lot of points. I would look at taking a smaller number on Lemon than a guy like you talked about with the Browns. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with the quarterback spot?
Yeah.
You have no idea. You can't rely on that.
I can't touch anything Browns right now. I don't know what that offense looks like. The bomb that I'm considering right now, and I threw it up there, how about Zachariah Branch from Georgia and USC going to Atlanta? Now, this bet's dead if Tua's the quarterback, because I don't know how he utilized the speed. We saw what happened to Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill the last few years. But if it's Pennix and you have Drake London on one side, you have Pitts over the middle, you have Bijan in the backfield, you just kind of forget that Branch is going to be there. And by necessity, I think he's going to get a lot of starter snaps because they lost Darnell Mooney. They lost others at the position. And this is a guy with electric speed. I mean, he is a burner in every sense of the word. And Stefanski's going to have to get him involved in the offense, especially if teams decide that or have a way to take Drake London away. He just might have opportunities to make some big bursts.
Okay, love the breakdown. Defensive rookie of the year. Now, I told myself that on the night of the draft, if the number was right, I was absolutely going to bet Caleb Downs taken by the Cowboys, who slipped to them somehow.
Yeah, always.
And always the Cowboys.
CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons. I mean, Jalen Smith didn't work out, but somehow he fell into their lap, you know, a decade ago, whatever.
A ton of guys. It feels like the same thing happened with the Vikings, right? Randy Moss, Delvin Cook, other players of like, how are they there for the Vikings? How are they there for the Cowboys, right? So, but I wanted 10-1. I have held firm on this. 10-1 was never available. I have not bet him. I think he's probably got, to me, I love the spot. I think he's going to be an absolute monster in that defense. The guy that I bet is Jacob Rodriguez, and I got him at 26-1,
ooh,
right from Texas Tech. He was, this is kind of like bad team he's going to, but guess what? Schlesinger was also on a bad Browns team last year. Good defense overall, but I think Rodriguez is just going to be a playmaker and a ball hawk and creating turnovers and all over the field. And he played that way last year at the OTAs. He was causing fumbles. I love the kid's game. And at 26-1, I could not ignore that number.
Volume of tackles. Yep. Also, a lot of stuff's going to be thrown. He's going to be chasing people down. He'll also have a chance to get after quarterbacks because they're going to be trailing late in games a lot. So could pad some of those numbers as well. I like that. I like the number a lot because this award's tough. I love Reuben Bain. I can't bet him at 5-1.
Same.
David Bailey, who I don't love as much. I don't understand 5-1. Sonny Styles is a linebacker, and he's kind of a jack of all trades, which almost might take him out of this award because he's going to be doing so many different things. And unless the voters are watching film, I'm not sure they're going to realize his impact. I'm at Akeem Mezidor. You can get him 13-14-1. He's going to start as an edge right out of the gate. He's an older rookie, by the way, 25 years old for the Chargers, who need him to pop, who need him to get after quarterbacks. And the only reason why he didn't go higher in the draft is because he's 6'2". That's it. People probably wanted someone 6'4", 6'5". He is a dog. He is aggressive. He is physical. He is someone I saw with Bain on the other side at Miami at times where I'd go, I think Mezidor might be better. He's super experienced. He had 12.5 sacks a year ago. Because the Chargers are going to be good and I like what's around him on defense, I think Mezidor could have a monster season with the sacks.
No, there's a lot to like with him. Going to a good team overall, other playmakers
too.
On defense, no doubt about that. Well coached, obviously. So he's the guy near the top. Did you take a long shot as well?
The one I'm considering, I'm not quite there yet, but my Giants have had major issues at corner. They fixed one side with Greg Newsome that I love. Well, what happens? Colton Hood is technically not slotted in to start, but I think eventually he does. Colton Hood from Tennessee, transfer from Auburn. He was really good last year, and I think he went the JUCO route as well. But I like the way he looked at Tennessee. People thought he was as good, if not better, than McCoy. He was projected to go higher originally until he had the injury a year ago. And I think the situation makes sense. He's going to be tested if he ends up getting starter snaps with the Giants because people are going to avoid Newsome. They're going to attack the rookie. And we've seen recent memory with a bunch of these rookies winning this award at the cornerback spot. Cornerbacks used to have no chance for this, but the last 4 or 5 years, they've been in the mix. So he's the guy that I'm considering at 50-1.
Okay, I don't have anybody yet for coach of the year. You have two guys at the same number. One of them, I'm going to give you the Mutombo.
Yeah, I know.
Get out of my face.
I know.
But I like the, go ahead. The floor is yours here again. Take us through both of these.
Okay, so the two guys are priced about the same at 35-1. One I love, and I've been hyping it up because Will Hill wrote it in the NFL betting guide, and I do this every year. I think we get so obsessed with new coach in a new place turning it around to win the award. That's not always the case. Guys win their second, third year at these stops a lot of times, and they're coming off bad years. So that's why the number one that I like is Sean McVay, 35-1, okay? I don't think anyone would argue that if you were starting a franchise today, Sean McVay's probably your choice to run the team. If Ben Johnson's probably right there neck and neck at this point. But they're the best team in football. And the last time a team won 15 games was the Carolina Panthers, and Ron Rivera won Coach of the Year that year, and he was dominant. Sometimes you could be so dominant that you are rewarded with the Coach of the Year. I think the Rams, with the expectations as high as they are, with the additions of Garrett and Watkins and McDuffie at corner, Stafford one last ride maybe. I think if they win 15 games, he can win this award. The other one?
No. That's actually the guy that I was going to name a tumble.
McVay. Really?
The other one I like.
Oh, you like this one?
I like the other one, yes. Because McVay, everything, you have to win 15 games for him to win the award.
The next one, he's on the hot seat. His teams always get off to a slow start.
Always.
He's definitely going to be fired if they don't start with a winning record in their first five or six games. Zach Taylor is 35-1. I don't think anyone would argue he's the best coach in football, but what I could argue is Cincinnati has the most continuity in their division. They have a ton coming back. The defense is much improved, even with the loss of Hendrickson. If the Bengals are the one seed in the AFC, can Zach Taylor be your coach of the year?
See, now you have me. And oh, by the way, like a team can have multiple winners, right, the same year. They can have the coach of the year and the MVP, or they can have the MVP and the rookie of the year. But you can intermix this kind of stuff, intertwine them, and it can go, you can scoop it all. It happened with the Texans. It happened with other teams recently. If they win 12 or 13 games and are in the mix with the one seed, I don't know if he's going to win, but he'll be like in the conversation.
Yeah, at the top of the board, I can't bet some of these guys at such short numbers.
So we'll continue talking NFL, longest shot to win a division up next, and also you can make a case for this guy to win the MVP.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
If you go back a little bit more than a decade in the National Football League, 2015, 12 teams have gone worst to first. So you're averaging more than one per year. And if you go back even more than that, when the NFL expanded to 32 teams, that year was 2002, 31 teams have pulled that off. Worst to first, average of 1.29 teams per year over a 24-year span. So it's probably going to happen again this year. I would say the two most likely candidates, obviously number one would be Detroit. They were a really good last place team. Their division's obviously stacked this year, but they're the short shot to win the NFC North for a reason, along with the Saints. They finished last place last year in the south of the NFC, and they're like around plus 250 to win that division. So it's going to happen. I'm sure one of those two teams will probably be there at the end. Other than that, and I have bets on both of them, by the way. Can you make a case for another team to go worst to first? Or what's the longest number you would bet this year for a team to win a division, Dustin?
Okay, well, longest to bet the division, maybe I'm smoking something, but I'm doing the Chris Forrester right now, the current interim head coach of San Francisco. How that is allowed in the NFL is beyond me. Minnesota at 5'10". Am I crazy to think, as someone who's been so anti-Kyler Murray for a few years, but at the price point you're getting Kyler Murray, with the sign-off of a coach that we all trust in Kevin O'Connell, and how good and competitive they were last year with no quarterback play, and Kyler Murray's never been in a system like this with the weapons, but more importantly, with a defense led by Brian Flores still, that division feels so volatile. You can jumble them up any way you want in any order. Is there a world where Minnesota can win the North at plus 510?
So I want to say yes, and I think the offense can absolutely pop this year, and I'm not a Kyler Murray fan at all. He's always had good weapons, and there's always been excuses to kind of like piggyback that, and I don't get it.
And the excuse for some reason is never that he can't see.
Yeah, exactly. No, never that. Never that. Never that reason. But the Vikings offense should, in theory, be very good playing in the dome, by the way, and they also get the Lions in a dome and some other teams that I think they should be able to handle this year. No, this is only one man's opinion. And it's the second time today I brought his name up. But Paul Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, comes on with us once a week throughout the football season. He has covered the Vikings pretty much his entire life. He is so adamantly against Minnesota this year.
Oh, really?
And the reason why is because their GM just got fired.
Yes.
In the offseason, because the four previous drafts he had with the Vikings all such stink bombs.
Yeah.
That Charchian's angle on Minnesota is once they have injuries, and every team has injuries,
yeah,
right? The depth is so weak, they will not be able to sustain any sort of like success this year. Now, okay, he could absolutely be wrong on that,
sure,
or they could be the healthiest team in the entire league and not have that problem. But that kind of like, it made me not make a positive bet on Minnesota. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. That is totally fair. The division that I keep coming back to here is the NFC East, right? Because are we so sure the Eagles should be priced the way they are? They've lost some pieces.
Sure.
Elements on that line are getting older. The one thing I'll give Sirianni credit, if you go look, every other year, he's bad, then great. Bad, then great. Bad, then great. So, and bad for him is still winning the division and making the playoffs, but I think the rest of the division got better. Cowboys plus 235, Commanders plus 460, although they got some weird stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. The Giants 6-1, the Harbaugh effect. Could it be the Commanders plus 460? Could it be the Giants 6-1?
I would actually lean towards the Cowboys.
And that's plus 235.
If it's going to be. And the reason why I say that is because, like, how many games are we going to get out of Jayden Daniels this year?
Agreed.
If he stays healthy, then they can have a season maybe similar to one they had when he was a rookie. And the other one is, I think the Giants are going to be a much better football team this year, all things considered. However, for like the fifth consecutive year, they have one of the most difficult schedules in the entire league. So this is, I think they're a year away from being the team that I really want to bet on.
Okay.
And I hope I'm not wrong on that, because you want to be on that the year that they pop. Because if they pop this year, forget about it. You're not going to find 6-1 to win,
sure,
the division, or 7.5 for a win total moving forward because of how young they are and how talented they are.
You know what's funny about the Cowboys? A year ago at this time, we're all mocking Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
He proved in year one he's a head coach. Like I don't know if he's a great head coach, but he proved he's certainly capable of being a head coach, which I didn't know was possible.
Like he was actually competent.
Yeah.
It appeared that way.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Now, was that actually real life, or is that because we're used to seeing the biggest dumpster fires of all time?
Well, that's the thing, the expectations.
In Dallas, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, but the defense got better, even though without
Parsons.
It's
going to be better. It's going to be better. They drafted really well.
Yeah, it can't be worse. All right, I'll throw one bomb your way, then I want to hear yours.
Real quick, did you see that photo that was making the rounds from Dak Prescott out here for the McGregor fight?
Jacked.
Was that AI? Was that proven to be a real photo?
It has, because that bicep would get in the way of throwing a football.
He looks like he turned into a professional bodybuilder.
Is his brother jacked, or was or something like that? Someone, I feel like I've seen Dak Prescott look jacked before in the past.
Okay.
But his bicep.
Oh, dude,
was
they
like,
were. It was Hulk Hogan.
It was enormous.
His chest was like out to here.
I don't like. I how legit do you, don't know how you throw a football.
I don't either. That's kind of like, my first thought was like, that can't be in anyway. So you were going to go another team. Sorry, you derailed the whole conversation.
No, this is the crazy bomb. This is my crazy bomb. And this is a weird one. The AFC South is odd. Houston, as much as I love them and think they might be a Super Bowl team, I think they're probably one of the wider variance teams for me, where the offense is so odd. The turnovers are so bad with Stroud. The O-line didn't get better. The Jaguars, could that be a one-hit wonder a year ago with Liam Cohen? The Colts, and you've got Daniel Jones now cleared to return coming off the Achilles. The Titans are 8-1. The Colts are plus 380. Could that be the division where the long shots live?
See, and that's actually the other team that I would circle in terms of a worst to first candidate. Why not Tennessee? Jacksonville can take a step back. And by step back, I'm talking about like 9 wins, right? Houston, they have a Super Bowl winning defense. But at some point this year, maybe earlier than we're thinking, I'm going to poke my eyeballs out watching C.J. Stroud play in a big football game.
I'll never understand what happened.
He went from that rookie season to what we watched last year in the playoffs, and they refused to pull the plug on that experience. They were going to win the game. The defense set up everything that the offense could possibly want in that game, but nope, we're going to keep trotting Stroud out there to play quarterback. I was baffled watching that contest.
Yeah. I don't know if they should be priced that way. Indy was like steamrolling people before Jones got hurt. He was an MVP candidate.
I know.
I don't know. I consider Tennessee, by the way, we do have breaking news impacting the NFC South. This via Jordan Schultz, NFL insider. Vita Vea has requested a trade from the Buccaneers.
Wow.
That is massive. That dude is as dominant on the interior, like this side of Jalen Carter. Like, we're talking probably, he may not be in that number one tier, but he's not in the two tier. Like, he's like on the edge in between them.
Sure. He's been around since 2018 in this league anyway. I'm trying to pull up numbers right now on him last year to see where he like stands. Hopefully this website's going to actually pull up here, PFF, to get some of the numbers that he had in terms of the rushing game, the rushing attack on defense. But I'm guessing that he's going to, by the way, if he goes to a contender.
Defensive player of the year?
Well, no, but I mean, what that could mean to a team that's like one piece away from maybe like winning their division or being a player in the AFC or the NFC. And that one would think anyway, my gut reaction says that's going to be kind of a big deal if he's not on Tampa Bay next season.
That is a big loss for them potentially here because he's the anchor, man. Like they also have some new pieces there. A'shaun Robinson coming over. Anzalone at linebacker. They're going to rely on two rookies to start, Reuben Bain Jr. and Josiah Trotter, the linebacker out of Missouri. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this revolves around Vita Vea. That could be a massive move. And now he could get the contract he wants and wind up staying because this does appear to be a move where he's looking to get some more money out of them. But who is even in the market for an impact D tackle that is a contender right now? Because I thought about Detroit, but they need more of an edge than they do a tackle. They're fine at tackle. And Cincinnati has tackles. They're fine there. I'm wondering what contender needs a defensive tackle right now.
Okay, so Vita Vea, it's only one website. You can agree or disagree all you would like, but it's Pro Football Focus. Vita Vea, according to their study and their numbers, ranked 18th overall as an interior defender last year.
Wow.
18th overall, and it looks like his rush defense grade was all the way down to 62.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So maybe he took a step back last year.
Interesting.
Overall.
Could the Bears use his services? Is that a team but they also need an edge more than they probably need interior? Mm. I don't know what the market is for Vita Vea. I don't know if he's going to see what he wants out there financially. If someone doesn't want to, you are what the market says.
Right. Gut reaction, a draft pick that you would give up for him would be what?
Based on what you just said, no higher than a third.
Yeah, I was thinking like a fourth-round pick.
Yeah,
probably. And this is all happening live right now. It could be way off on that, but my gut says like a fourth-round pick for Vita Vea.
Yeah, Vita Vea at this point in his career, how old is he? I don't have 31. Yeah, 30.
He's got a couple years left.
Yeah, but it's still an interior lineman. I don't know what I get. And I like him a lot. I think he ultimately stays. This feels like a bluff maybe. Hey, the Circus Survivor documentary, it's back. It's bigger than ever. $18.7 million on the line. And the new Grandissimo format, Raising the Stakes. If you missed episode one, don't worry. You can catch it now on YouTube. All you have to do is search VSiN Live when you go to YouTube.com. Episode two airs this Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. You'll live through the agonizing moment of opening weekend. Early winners, losers, storyline shaping the season. I'm already awaiting the Amari DiMercato fumble at the one-yard line.
God.
Every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, catch it on VSiN or catch up on YouTube anytime. Just search for VSiN Live.
An overrated and underrated college football team this upcoming season, next on VSiN.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Dialed in some college football. It's going to be here quicker than you think, right around the corner the way it feels now. We'll go out to the Progressive guest line now. Brett Ciancia joins the program. He is the man in charge of the Pick Six Previews College Football Magazine, and it looks tremendous and is tremendous again this year. Brett, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, it's a busy time of year with the Preview Magazine publishing and shipping across the country. Really excited to break it down with you guys. Wide open season, biggest coaching carousel we've ever seen, and thousands of players moving around the portal. So lots to get into. Thanks for having me.
And it probably takes you the entire offseason to get ready for the upcoming football season because of all that that you mentioned there. Let's begin with the most overrated team in the country, maybe based on market numbers that you've seen out there as well, but a team that you just think, man, oh, man, I don't get it with them this year.
Yeah, I launched this in 2012, and that was during the peak of the Nick Saban dynasty. So it feels strange to put Alabama this low in the magazine. I've got them 16th nationally, all the way down in 8th place in the SEC. I never thought that was possible. But when you look at this, last year it was their worst rushing offense in Alabama school history. And in the postseason there, they only managed a yard a carry. Couldn't get any push, couldn't stop the run. A lot of questions. So now when you look at it forward into 2026, I don't think they solved enough of those questions. I think that you have starters leaving the program to go to Texas A&M, to go to Ohio State. It used to be the other way around where Alabama steals players. They're losing them now. So I have my concerns. The most questions I've ever seen on Alabama preseason roster here, like I said, 15 years doing the magazine, the most questions I've had with them.
That's crazy. It's just crazy to think about how quickly it can change. It's one decision,
oh, yeah.
And you're irrelevant in a league that you absolutely dominated. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. That was overrated. Who's an underrated team coming into the year?
Yeah, underrated. I like Ole Miss. And this is a team that made the playoff last year, had a heck of a run. And, of course, they had the off-the-field it was a controversial timing, let's say, with the departure of Lane Kiffin. And the team really rallied around Pete Golding. They played well in the playoff bracket. They had a star emerge with Trinidad Chambliss. And now you look at 2026, they're back with Chambliss. But this time around, Pete Golding, he put all of his funds towards the defensive side of the transfer portal. And they signed 8 4-stars through the portal on defense. If you follow the transfer market, that's incredible on one side of the ball. So picture the Trinidad Chambliss offense, Kewon Lacy at running back, plus now an elite defense, I think, paired with it. So I like Ole Miss plus money to get back to the playoff in 2026.
They have Louisville. They get LSU, obviously. That's their third game of the year. They're at Florida, at Texas, Georgia, at Oklahoma as well. If they navigate that schedule into a playoff berth, Chambliss is going to be live to win the Heisman, is he not?
Yeah, and I was on VSiN over the weekend, and I gave that as a Heisman pick. I think he's sitting 11-1, and not the favorite. But remember, the favorite has not won the award in I think the last 13 years. So you got to go a little bit deeper off the top line there. I like Trinidad Chambliss 11-1. Remember, last year he wasn't the starter at the beginning of the year. He was a Division II transfer, battled for the backup spot, but came in after Austin Simmons was injured, and then he razzled and dazzled. He looked like Kyler Murray out there. Really impressive season. So now picture a second year in the SEC. I was also worried, too, about losing Lane Kiffin and his elite play calling and his scheme. But they hired a guy that was a former Kiffin assistant, John David Baker. And he was quoted saying they're keeping the scheme 90% the same. So you're getting that Kiffin offense again. Number one tempo in the country. They go lightning fast on offense. So I think he's going to get a ton of yards and touchdowns.
I feel like the SEC is the only league that has coaches named John David. Mm-hmm. It's like the only, it's consistent. There's a two first name thing going on. And they go by both of them. How about this? You got Trinidad Chambliss Heisman. He's 13-1. My favorite Heisman bet from a year ago. Felt good for a while, then it completely disappeared. That's Dante Moore in Oregon. He's 10-1. Do you think he can contend? Do you think Oregon can contend to win the Big Ten and maybe even the national title?
Yeah, I'm calling it the year of the duck. I'm calling for Oregon to win the national title. They're sitting there plus 800, 8-1 to win it. I like it. And if you're a Pick Six Previews reader, you'll remember actually in last year's book, I wrote down, you know, not for 2025, but for 2026, this team will eventually be the national champion pick in next year's magazine. Well, here we are. It's 26. I like how they played in the last fall. Top five on offense, top five on defense per my numbers. And then you bring back Dante Moore, who could have gone in the first round of the draft. Their defensive line, all four of the guys are all Big Ten. You know, they recruit with the best of them. Three straight top five high school recruiting classes, plus two top five transfer halls on top of that. So I love the talent at Oregon. I know they lose their coordinators, but this is a team that's built to go the distance in the January bracket. So, yeah, I like the value there, 8-1 to win it. They're my pick outright to do so. A lot to like from Oregon this year.
Brett Cianci is our guest. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. Pick Six Previews on X and also picksixpreviews.com. Beautiful magazine. And the most accurate magazine, by the way, going back several years, you said starting in 2012 when you got it going, Brett. Overall, one more thing on the Ducks here. Where do you stack up their they have tons of talent, obviously, every single year. Where do you put them compared to Ohio State, compared to Georgia, compared to Texas, maybe some other teams across the country this year?
Yeah, they're now on that tier. I know historically when you think recruiting, you would think Bama, Georgia, Ohio State. But Oregon has really elevated to that tier. I mean, you look at, like I said, top five recruiting every year now, top five transfers every year now. One thing to look a little bit ahead to, I know it's early for a mock draft, but they also have the East-West Shrine Bowl 1000 list, kind of a watch list for the pros. Oregon's towards the top, if not the top of that. I mean, you have, 15 guys that could be drafted next year. So it's a very talented team. Position groups are all solid. I don't see really any weakness. Schedule's tough. Now, if it was the old BCS era, they might stumble a couple times in the regular season and they would have been eliminated from an old BCS format. But now you can go 10-2 And in the January bracket, that's where the five-star depth and the NFL depth really rises to the top, and they have the horses to do so. So they're right on the same tier for me with Ohio State, with Notre Dame, Miami. Who else we got? Georgia and Oklahoma, Texas from the SEC. They're legit. I like Oregon this year.
How about in the SEC with Tennessee? You know, a year ago at this time, we were talking about the drama surrounding Nico Iamaliava and Joey Aguilar coming in. They don't really make a move at quarterback, but Heupel has a pretty good track record of being a good head coach. Win total 7.5. Would you go over or under on Rocky Top?
Yeah, this is my first win total of the year. I'm locking it in. I like Tennessee to go over the 7.5. I think it's a team that's being slept on a little bit. Like you said, it was a noisy offseason in 25, a quiet one this time around. But when you look at last year, they scored 40 points a game. It's a typical Josh Heupel offense. They bring 8 starters back off of that unit. It's a veteran offensive line, 5 stars at receiver. The only question is at quarterback. I like both guys, though. They're both top 200 recruits. I think actually Brandon Faison was a top 5 in the country quarterback. So it's a matter of who Heupel picks. And remember that last offseason, Joey Aguilar came in July. So there was no winter. There was no spring ball for him. And Heupel got him up to speed right away, finished number 2 in the conference in passing. I think it'll be a similar trajectory here there. But what makes them a good bet for the over, I think, is their additions on defense, hiring Jim Knowles, one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. The linebacker stable is overflowing with potential starters. Defensive line was bulked up. So I think you have a complete team. You have Heupel's offense, and then you have a Jim Knowles type defense on the other side. So I like 7.5 over.
Brett, the team maybe considered the longest shot with the odds to make the playoff this year, a team way down the list. Have you circled anybody that you've had your eye on? Maybe you want to place a bet on him as well.
Yeah, I would look at USC to make the playoff. You know, I think on a higher level, I think what's going to happen with the bid split, I think it's going to be 4 Big Ten, 4 SEC this time around. Remember that last year it was 5 SEC, 3 Big Ten. I think now that the SEC added in a 9th round of conference games against each other, you're going to have a lot of 9-3 action. I can already hear the debates happening come November of which 9-3 team is better. But I think with USC, they're my pick for 4th in the Big Ten, which would then be a playoff pick. I love their offense under Lincoln Riley every year. Jaden Maiava, quarterback, big offensive line. But they just signed the number 1 high school recruiting class in the country. A lot of that came to the defensive line. 5 stars galore, freshman All-American last year, starters off other teams too. And Gary Patterson, Mr. TCU, took over the defense. He was quoted saying he's never had a defense this big. And that's 20-plus years of coaching. You know what kind of legacy he has. So I like all these quotes. I know there's usually hype with USC, but this time I'm buying it for sure.
All right, last one here, Brett. The Sooners of Oklahoma, fresh off a playoff berth. Can they run it back? Can Brett Venables do it again with John Mateer returning?
Yes, and it's all about that defense. Brent Venables always builds elite defenses, but last year was really a masterpiece. You know, I have a number in there called the negative play rate, how frequently a team is in the backfield making sacks, tackles for loss. They broke the record last year. They were living in the backfield, and most of that defense is back. You pair that elite defense with, I think, an improvement from John Mateer in his second year. He's got a healthy hand. He's got another year at the SEC level. The young offensive line is now another year older. And I think it comes together again. So I think it's a stronger version of Oklahoma than we saw last year, and enough to get back to the bracket in January.
Great appearance as always, Brett. Love your stuff. The magazine shines as always. Thank you for the time, and best of luck this upcoming season.
Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Yeah, make sure, by the way, you get your hands on that magazine.
No, it's legit.
It's phenomenal.
He does so much work, and it's not just the preseason mag. If you sign up for the year-round stuff that he does, for me, because I prep live bets Saturday and I hit the air, and sometimes there's 7, 8, 9, however many games on the air, he makes my prep so much easier because he condenses everything down. This is the offense, defensive matchups. Here's where they rank. And then you get all these other details that you really can't find in one place anywhere else.
It's simple. Picks, pick6previews.com. Pick6previews.com is the website. Our best bet in pocket plays coming up next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. take.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. First day back for me from vacation. So we'll go back all the way to before the Open Championship to grade some of these bets. Tigers were a winner against the Angels. I couldn't tell you where the game was played, who pitched, what the score was. I know nothing about the game. 10 days ago, I have no clue. But that was a winner. At the Open Championship, I know this for a fact. I was so close to having a huge weekend, and I got murdered. God, does that stink. Because Schauffele top 10 at plus 320. Close. Molinari was in the top 40 the entire weekend until Sunday. No good. That was a loser. Rory to win, no good. Patrick Reed, top 20, no good. Colin Morikawa did sneak into the top 20. That was a winner. And I had Jude Bellingham to win the Golden Ball Award at 4-1. I still can't believe they gave that. We were live on the air when they gave that game away to Argentina. I have no idea how they lost. Anyway, that's that. Pending stuff here, new as well, that we have for the in-pocket plays.
By the way, you would have remembered the Tigers game had you lost it.
At my age, with a two-year-old, I would not.
Okay.
I would not. There's no way. Unless it was a brutal beat. Pending Brewers' most wins in July. I need an absolute miracle here.
It's like, they've been awesome.
So they got swept by the Pirates. And they lost game 1-5-2 to the Rockies this past weekend. And they lost Mizorowski's first start of the month.
That's against the Mets?
That was against the Reds and Chase. So no shame in that, but I mean...
Were they 14?
14-8, I believe, this month. I need a miracle. I need them to win out, and I need the Red Sox to basically lose. That's not happening. So the Rays most wins, Giants most wins, losers as well. The Bryce Miller, American League Cy Young, is going to be a loser.
Jazz. Yeah, I understood the thought process.
Yeah.
He was red hot, and... Last year was a lost year with a late start because of injury. I like where your head was at there.
And Schlittler had just gotten rocked. So we can take this one off after today because it's an upcoming bet in the NBA. So plenty of time. Jazz over 34.5 wins in the NBA next year. That's the pending new stuff. We'll expand on this stuff maybe tomorrow or this week. Yeah, I'm high on the Saints and the Lions this year. Lions plus 180 to win that division. Over 10.5 wins, minus 115. Saints plus 265 to win their division. Over 7.5, minus 125. And tonight, best bet in Major League Baseball. It's Max Scherzer returning for the first time since June 10th. I can remember that day saying we're not going to have a chance to bet against him again this year. Well, we do. It's against his former team, so it's a revenge spot for Mad Max.
It just kind of feels like a Yerfie game or a Nats first to score plus 105.
It feels like all of it.
It feels like I want to do an SGP on everything involving the Nationals.
Yeah, I want to go Nationals first to score. I want to go Yerfie. I want to go first three over. I want to go first five over. I want to go team total over first five and team total over for the game.
Which means Scherzer looks like old Scherzer and shuts him down for seven.
And the Nationals' best scoring offense in baseball the entire year will have two runs, and they'll lose like in 13 innings. So it's my best bet is team total for the Nats.
I like it.
Over 2.5 minus a quarter. That's in the first five.
Yeah, I got to bet more first five team totals. I don't have a lot of books where I find it here.
I think Boyd has it.
Boyd has it now?
Boyd
okay.
has it, yeah. That's one of them, but not very many.
All right, well, one of my bets is getting started right now. First pitch from Zach Wheeler is a strike. We talked about it earlier. We laddered this. Over 6.5 last night, minus 137. Woke up this morning. I was like, you know what? I'm going to be on FTM. Let me be a little spicy here. Over 7.5, plus 111. Over 8.5, plus 220. Plus 410 for over 9.5. We need to get to 10 strikeouts as he allows a hit to Otto Lopez. But you know what? After Otto Lopez and Kyle Stowers, I'm not all that terrified of some of the guys in the rest of this lineup for Miami, at least right now at this point in the season.
By the way, his teammates staked him to a 2-0 lead.
Which helps.
Bryce Harper, 2-run dinger.
Can play a little bit free and loose right now for Zach Wheeler, who I've got him 50-1, 25-1, 16-1 for Cy Young. So we need him to hang there. I'm losing a lot of money betting against Cam Schlittler in the AL, by the way. Max Fried over 5.5 Ks. You can get a better price than I did. It was like plus 115 when I looked a bit ago. It's plus 101. The Chicago White Sox, 24th in K rate. They swing and miss a ton. They have some power, but Fried had 7 strikeouts in 5 innings against Pittsburgh in his first start back. He's also on an 11-0 run against the AL Central. Is Fried. Yankees are only minus 140 on the road, but Bellinger's out 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know if I want to touch their offense right now.
Yeah.
Other than Paul Goldschmidt, because he's facing a lefty, the numbers are there. He mashes left-handed pitching, over 1.5 total bases, minus 102. I don't hate the idea of plus 420 to hit a home run against Noah Schultz, the rookie on the bump there. And then Peyton Tolley, my last play, over 5.5 punch outs for the Boston starter on the road at the A's. One, the A's strike out a ton. He had 9 strikeouts against Baltimore last time out. He's cleared 5.5 punch outs in 3 straight. A's third most K's against lefties. Plus, you factor in playing in Sacramento in that band box. You want to avoid contact. So I think he dials it up a bit to try to reach back and strike these guys out.
Go get him tonight.
Yeah, you too. Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Promo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Sorry, filling in for Paul. I'm not a beautiful mind like he is. The NFL preseason, only a couple weeks away. This is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. Get instant access to the NFL betting guide, which covers futures, win totals, division races, player props. Mitch and I have been talking about our write-ups. He's got some good stuff on the Lions. I stand by the Sean McVay write-up from our guy Will Hill. More on that on the NFL betting guide. Plus, August 3rd, you'll get the college football betting guide, previews of all the FBS teams, power ratings, best bets, and more. And additionally, Fantasy Life's Fantasy Football Guide, all part of this package. Get full Visa Pro access through the Super Bowl, daily best bets, betting splits, everything we do on the website before the price goes down on August 1st. Beaston.com/subscribe.
There's one punch out for your guy.
There we go.
Zach Wheeler.
There we go.
We call him Wheelie. To your point earlier, East Coast, you got to have a nickname for everybody that ends in Y.
Yeah, Zachy. No, I don't know if Zachy works.
Zachy doesn't work.
Wheels?
Wheels, probably. That's going to be the
one. You know, I saw him pitch in high school in Georgia. I saw him pitch in the state playoffs.
I did know that, actually.
I think I told you that, actually. I once watched him throw a pitch so hard in high school that a kid half swung and oppoed it over the fence the other way.
Jeez. Look at this, by the way. Comedy of errors. Otto Lopez all the way around. He was stealing second. They threw it past... And now he takes over on third. There's an error there. I think it's 2 errors in the same play for the Phillies, and now it's 2-1.
You know what? What's the end game right now in Philly? We could have gotten...
Wow.
They're -2.5, plus 107. Miami +2.5, minus 140. Isn't that the thing that... while you were on vacation, I went all in on the Phillies to win the NL 7-1. That is the concern always. Yep. The defense.
Hey, last night,
they're
popped
up. Butchers in the field.
Okay, so...
What is this?
My bad on this. I'm going to go in fresh, by the way. So I've not heard this yet. This is on a numbers game earlier today.
Yeah, Adam Burke.
Okay, this is Adam Burke.
With Matt Brown and Kelly.
Okay, managing editor, vsin.com. We're going to hear this first. So we kicked around the NL MVP today. So a case can be made for Jacob Mizorowski to win the NL MVP. Here's Adam Burke.
So I'm not going to say it's impossible for a pitcher to win MVP. Shohei Ohtani is the last pitcher the last 3 times to do it, but also, you know, he's a two-way player and a unicorn. Clayton Kershaw, 2014, 21-3 record. Mizorowski's not going to get to 21 wins, I don't think, but I don't think he has to. 177 ERA for Kershaw, 239 strikeouts, and 198 and a third innings pitched. Mizorowski has 180, 185 in 120 innings. Prior to that, Justin Verlander, 251 innings back in 2011, 250 strikeouts, 24-5. We'll never see a record again.
Yes, yeah.
But Mizorowski... If he continues on the pace he's on now, he has comparable enough statistics to Kershaw in 2014, Verlander 2011 to win MVP.
All right. 200-1 earlier today, down to 150. DK's at 80-1, I think, on him right now.
Yeah, I like this angle. I just, if there's a world where it opens up and if PCA doesn't continue the Terry's on, I think you have to do it. With the 80-1 on PCA, all the bombs out there are worth betting for you right now because you're in a really interesting spot.
I would say anybody listening right now, if you haven't already added more to, if you have long tickets on PCA, you have to take a little Miz and you got to take a little Abrams and Wood.
Yes,
those would be my guys.
Yeah, I don't disagree. The Mizorowski angle gets better and better. It's when you factor in Woodruff injured, Freddy Peralta leaves.
Yeah.
Like they keep doing it, man. And this is a historic season. You just need him to stay healthy. The fatigue needs to go away.
Let me do this. So back from vacation, first day, I took my wife and I took little Sebastian back to Wisconsin to see the Midwest in the summertime.
Okay.
It was the week of his life. It was incredible. We randomly stopped for lunch. I'd never heard of this place. This is an unsolicited shout out here. The place is called River Jams on the Chippewa River. So I sit down, and I was really, I had a hankering for a fish sandwich because I always want to eat as much fish as possible when I'm back there. So on the menu, it's a regular Reuben, and below that, it's called a Rhea after their daughter. So you take, this is a bad picture by me. I should have let Lorraine take the photo. She's the pro at this. what you're looking at here, and I also tweeted this out at Mitch Moss Radio, they replaced the shaved corned beef and they put in beer-battered walleye with sauerkraut, Swiss, Thousand Island. You get the marble rye.
I'm in.
I asked the server, like, is it popular? She said it's not because people are afraid to get it, but every person who orders it said it's incredible. This should be on every menu in the country.
My hot take, swap out sauerkraut in your Reuben with coleslaw.
I'm in. I would try that. That sandwich was unbelievable. Primetime next. Femi Abebefe and Will Hill take you through the entire live betting night that we have. Good luck, everybody.